asleep. I keep my magic in my heart. Keep up your spirit, keep up your faith, baby.
Welcome to Fight the Good Fight, a production of Freedom Force Florida. And now your hosts, Michael Williams and Tabitha Brown.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into something pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at something called the RISE Act.
Okay.
The RISE Act.
And it essentially calls for mandatory work release programs for all inmates who are getting close to their release date.
All inmates.
All inmates, yeah.
So that includes even those convicted of violent crimes.
Even violent crimes. And I know what you're thinking.
It's a bold idea.
It's a bold approach, right?
Right.
Now, what makes this particularly interesting is that the organization that's actually pushing for this expansion of work release programs is actually founded by a current Florida prisoner.
That's right.
Which is kind of a head scratcher at first, you know.
Yeah.
You would think that someone in prison would be like,
yeah,
keep everyone else in here with me.
Exactly.
But Freedom Force Florida has some pretty interesting logic behind their reasoning for this.
Yeah. And we're talking about Randolph Baggett, who's been incarcerated for over 40 years.
Yeah.
So you might think, why would someone in prison want to make it easier for other people to get out?
Right.
But their logic is quite fascinating.
Yeah. And in order to get into that logic, we're going to be looking at a few different sources.
Oh.
We've got excerpts from the proposed act itself.
Got it.
We've got their study guide,
okay,
which kind of explains their ideology and their key concepts.
Right.
And we've also got information directly from Freedom Force Florida's website.
Great.
So kind of a three-pronged approach here.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do today is we're on a mission.
Okay.
To figure out what this act is actually aiming to achieve.
Yeah.
How would this thing actually work?
Right.
If it were to be implemented?
Sure.
And what are some of the potential consequences?
Uh-huh.
Both good and bad.
Yeah. It's a complex issue for sure.
Yeah.
And we're going to be exploring both sides of it so that you can get the full picture.
Absolutely. So let's start with the basics.
Okay.
What exactly is work release?
Sure.
And how does it currently work in Florida?
So basically, work release programs allow incarcerated individuals to work at outside jobs while they're still serving their sentences.
Okay.
It's meant to help them transition back into society, earn some money, and kind of rebuild their lives before their full release.
So in theory, that sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah.
But I imagine in practice, it's not quite that simple.
You're right.
Right.
It's pretty restrictive, actually, in Florida.
Okay.
To qualify, inmates typically need to be within 12 to 18 months of release.
Okay.
They have to have a spotless disciplinary record.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes they even have to have a job offer lined up.
Okay.
So that already excludes a huge portion of the incarcerated population.
So even if you're getting close to your release date.
Right.
You know, let's say you're 15 months away from release.
Uh-huh.
But you had, you know, some disciplinary issues.
Correct.
While you were incarcerated.
Yep.
You wouldn't be eligible.
Exactly.
Got it.
And even then, if you qualify,
okay,
you get placed in a community correctional center. And they have strict rules there.
Like
nightly curfews, electronic monitoring, drug testing, all that kind of stuff.
So it's a very controlled environment.
Very controlled to try to minimize the risk.
Yeah, and it's worth noting as well that not every industry has the same success rate when it comes to work release placement.
Right.
I know construction has been particularly effective.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of steady work.
Yeah.
There's even opportunities for apprenticeships and things like that.
That's a field where there's often high demand for labor.
Right.
And it's a good chance to learn a skill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Build up a career.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Hospitality and logistics.
Yes.
They're good options as well.
That's right.
A lot of entry level roles.
Exactly.
Chance to develop your skills.
Yep.
So that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The Florida legislature acknowledges that around 90% of offenders will eventually return to society.
That's right.
Fuck.
And then here's another thing, right? Only a tiny percentage of Florida's inmates, something like 3.6%, are actually participating in work release programs right now.
Yeah, it's a shockingly low number.
It is. And the support that's given to inmates when they are actually released is, well, pretty minimal.
It's almost nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally given $50 and a bus ticket.
That's it, $50 and a bus ticket, good luck.
So the vast majority of people leaving prison are doing so without any of the support and structure that work release is supposed to provide.
That's exactly the point that Freedom Force Florida is trying to make.
Yeah.
They're saying that that system is setting people up for failure and almost guaranteeing that they're going to end up back in prison.
So their argument is that if you do things this way, you're actually making the community less safe.
Less safe, exactly.
Yeah, more safe.
Yeah, and they point to the statistic of recidivism.
Yeah.
The rate at which formerly incarcerated people reoffend as evidence that the current system just isn't working.
So their thinking is that if you can prepare people for life outside, give them the chance to, you know, earn a living and kind of address whatever issues led to their crimes in the first place. Correct.
They're less likely to reoffend.
Precisely. Everyone benefits.
That's where this RISE Act comes in. So RISE stands for Reintegration and Inmate Skill Enhancement.
Okay, so it's about like skills and getting them back on their feet.
Exactly. And they have real world examples to back that up.
Okay.
You know, they talk about Juan Rivera, who was a former work release participant and credits the program with helping him turn his life around.
Yeah, and those are the stories that are always so impactful, you know, to put a human face on these complex issues. So their solution is to expand work release. Well, it lays out a pretty comprehensive plan. It mandates that everybody would participate in work release for a period of 6 to 18 months before their release.
6 to 18 months.
Yeah. And interestingly, they suggest that the people that don't have strong support systems.
What do you mean by support systems?
Family, friends, a community to return to.
Okay.
That those people should actually have longer work release placements.
That seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
I would think that someone with a strong family.
You'd think.
Would have a better chance at succeeding on a work release.
Right.
But they're saying the opposite.
Well, they're reasoning that those who have been heavily reliant on the prison system for years, maybe decades, they need the most time to adjust to life outside.
Okay.
They need to build up those support systems, those life skills.
Well, it's almost like intensive reintegration training in a way.
It is.
Yeah, right.
So that's their logic there.
So where would all these people be housed?
That's a good question.
You know, are they talking about building new facilities?
No, actually.
Okay.
They emphasize utilizing existing facilities as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they even suggest closing down community correctional centers that are located within 50 miles of a major institution.
So trying to consolidate.
To consolidate resources, streamline operations.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
From a cost perspective.
Absolutely.
So they're talking about potentially, you know, closing down these correctional centers.
Right.
And utilizing existing facilities.
Exactly. That's this.
Okay. So let's talk about, I guess, the elephant in the room here.
Okay.
The idea of releasing people.
Right.
Convicted of violent crimes back into the community.
Yeah.
Even on work release is bound to raise some serious concerns.
Yeah.
About public safety.
Absolutely.
How does Freedom Force Florida address that?
They actually dedicate a big portion of the act to outlining safeguards that are designed to mitigate risk.
Okay, so they're not just saying, open the doors, let everyone out.
No.
There's a process for evaluating each individual.
That's right.
And the potential for them to reoffend.
Yeah, they propose using a combination of tools and methods, including, you know, detailed psychological evaluations and something called violence risk assessments, which are specialized tools designed to predict the likelihood of someone engaging in future violence.
So it's a very data-driven
approach to try to identify those who pose the greatest risk
right.
and manage them accordingly.
But even with all of that, I imagine there's still a level of uncertainty.
Yeah, predicting human behavior is never a perfect science.
Right, right.
But they don't stop there.
Okay.
They also propose mandatory rehabilitation programs as a prerequisite for work release.
So it's not just about assessing the risk.
Right.
It's about actually
reducing it.
Trying to reduce it.
Right. So we're talking about mandatory counseling therapy.
Okay.
Conflict resolution training. All kinds of programs designed to address, you know, the underlying issues that contribute to criminal behavior.
So it's more than just keeping people locked up.
Right.
It's actually trying to
help them chain,
rehabilitate them.
Address the root causes.
Yeah, address the root causes of their actions.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then once someone is deemed eligible for work release, they propose a graduated supervision model.
Okay.
So it would start with very close monitoring.
Okay.
Things like GPS tracking, frequent check-ins.
Yeah.
And then as the offender progresses, they're gradually granted more trust.
Okay.
More autonomy.
So starting with high level of control. And then slowly
easing back
into a more independent life.
Exactly.
Okay, but I'm still wondering about the practical side of all this.
Okay.
You know, what kind of jobs? Are these people going to be...
Right.
Are they just going to be released into...
Good question.
You know, any old job?
No. That's where those specialized employment pathways come in that we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
They're talking about, you know, work environments that are carefully chosen and closely supervised.
Okay.
At least initially.
So not just like throwing them to the wolf?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know, they talk about controlled work sites.
Got it.
Government-run programs. Even jobs within the prison system itself as potential starting points.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The idea is to ease people back into the workforce.
Yeah.
Starting with low-risk environments.
Okay, so how do they propose to actually get businesses on board with all of this?
Well, the act actually encourages businesses to participate in the rehabilitative process, suggesting, you know, potential incentives.
Like what?
Tax breaks for employers who hire former offenders.
So trying to create a system where everyone kind of benefits and has a stake in it.
Exactly.
It's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
But, you know, even with all these safeguards in place.
Of course.
There's always going to be the risk that someone reoffends.
That's possible.
How does Freedom Force Florida account for that?
Well, they recognize that reintegration is an ongoing process, not a one-time event. That's why they recommend significantly ramping up post-release support.
So like providing a safety net.
Exactly.
To prevent people from falling back into old patterns.
Exactly. They envision continued supervision, help with finding housing, employment, ongoing counseling therapy, recognizing that even after someone completes their sentence, they may still need support to successfully reintegrate.
So it's a very holistic approach.
It is.
Addressing all different levels of someone's.
Yeah, addressing the individual's needs at multiple levels.
Needs, but how do they propose to measure, you know, whether all of this is actually working?
That's a crucial point. And the act addresses that.
Okay.
They call for a comprehensive evaluation framework to track outcomes, measure recidivism rates, and determine what's working and what's not.
So data-driven decision making.
Data-driven, using evidence to guide future policy.
Freedom Force Florida is also big on financial and legal accountability.
Okay, so making sure that participants are actually contributing to society.
Right.
And making amends for their past actions.
That's the idea.
Okay.
Mandatory restitution programs.
Okay.
Victim compensation requirements. And complete transparency regarding their earning.
Right.
It's about taking responsibility and, where possible, even participating in restorative justice practices.
Now, restorative justice, that's about repairing the harm caused by the crime, right? Involving the victims, the community, and even the offender in the process.
It can be really powerful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about violent crimes.
Right.
Freedom Force Florida sees it as an essential part of true rehabilitation.
And they don't stop there.
No.
They're also really emphasizing community involvement throughout the entire process.
Absolutely.
Which I imagine is crucial.
Oh, yeah.
Especially given the sensitivity around releasing people convicted of violent crimes.
It is. You've got to have the community on board.
Yeah.
So they're proposing things like community engagement forums.
Okay.
Victim advocacy groups.
Uh-huh.
To build trust in the program.
Right.
And being completely transparent.
Right.
About who is participating.
Yeah.
And how the program works.
So it's really about addressing those fears head on.
Yeah, it's almost like they're saying, we hear your concerns, and here's how we're going to address them.
Sure.
But even with all of this, I imagine some people will still be skeptical.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
There are valid concerns about public safety.
They're sure.
Some people just fundamentally believe that no matter how much risk assessment and rehabilitation you do, individuals with violent pasts are always going to be a danger.
Right.
And they point to, you know, high-profile cases where people released from prison have reoffended even violently.
Yeah, I can see that point of view.
Right.
Especially if you've been a victim of a violent crime.
Of course.
The idea of that person being back in the community, even with supervision, can be incredibly difficult to accept.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, supporters of the act counter that statistically, people who go through well-structured work release programs are much less likely to reoffend than those who are released directly from prison with no support. Okay, so we've talked a lot about, you know, the logic behind this proposal, the specific measures they're suggesting. But there's another layer to this that I find really intriguing.
Yeah, what's that?
This push for reform is coming from a group of prisoners.
That's unusual.
Led by a man who has spent over four decades behind bars.
Yeah.
And they're advocating for a system that would see far more people
go
back into society.
It's a unique perspective.
What do you think motivates them?
Well, they argue that they've seen the flaws in the system firsthand and they believe there's a better way. A way that benefits not just those who are incarcerated, but society as a whole.
That's a good point. You know, the people who are impacted the most by the system often have the best perspective on how it can be improved.
That's right.
And it's clear they're deeply committed to this.
Yeah.
I mean, they've even drafted legislation.
They have.
Like both House and Senate versions ready to go.
Yep. House Bill 0000, Senate Bill 000.
Wow. They're putting their money where their mouth is.
They are very dedicated to this cause.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, this is a very ambitious proposal.
It is.
Likely to face a lot of opposition.
A lot of opposition.
But I think it raises some really important questions.
It does.
About how we approach criminal justice rehabilitation.
Absolutely.
Reintegration.
Right.
Now, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But there's one element that we haven't explored yet.
Okay.
And that's the role of these partner organizations.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That Freedom Force Florida keeps mentioning, you know, groups like Bridges of America, Operation New Hope, SMA Healthcare.
Right.
These guys seem to be like a key.
They're central.
Part of their vision.
Of their plan. Yeah.
So what do they bring to the table?
They bring a wealth of experience and expertise in areas like addiction treatment, job training, mental health support, reentry services.
Okay. So we'll delve into their specific role.
We will.
And contributions.
After a quick break.
Right after this. We're back. And before the break, we were talking about these partner organizations that Freedom Force Florida sees as like crucial to the success of this Work Release Act.
Yeah.
And these groups like Bridges of America, Operation New Hope, SMA Healthcare.
Yeah.
They're already doing great work.
They are.
In the reentry space.
That's right.
So it makes you wonder, you know, what would their involvement actually look like?
Yeah, that's a great question.
If this act were to be implemented.
And thankfully, Freedom Force Florida has given us some insight into how they envision these partnerships playing out.
Okay, so let's start with Bridges of America.
Okay.
We already talked about, you know, their expertise in addiction treatment and mental health services.
Right.
But what might their involvement actually look like in practice?
So one of their key programs is called Stepping Stones.
Okay.
It's a comprehensive residential treatment program for people with a history of substance abuse.
Okay.
And it combines evidence-based therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy, motivational interviewing with life skills training, job readiness workshops, peer support groups.
So it's
it's very holistic.
Yeah, very holistic approach.
Addressing not just the addiction itself, but the underlying issues that contribute to it.
Right. So it's not just about getting people off drugs.
Right.
It's about addressing why they were on drugs in the first place.
Exactly. And it's also highly individualized.
Okay.
So each participant gets their own treatment plan tailored to their needs and their goals.
So not a one size fits all.
Nope.
Bro.
Nope.
Gotcha.
And they also offer outpatient services, too, for people who don't need residential treatment.
Okay.
So individual therapy, group therapy, medication management, case management.
So a continuum of care.
Right. A continuum of care, meeting people where they're at.
Meeting people where they're at.
In their recovery.
Yeah.
So in the context of the Work Release Act,
right,
Bridges of America would probably play a big role in providing these services to participants, both during their time in the program and after.
Okay. So even after they've been released.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, if you can address substance abuse issues, mental health issues.
Yeah.
That's essential to reducing recidivism.
It's crucial.
Yeah.
And ensuring success.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Operation New Hope.
Okay.
So we talked about their Ready for Work program.
Uh-huh.
But they've got a whole suite of initiatives designed to support people with criminal backgrounds.
What are some of the other programs that they've got?
So they've got one called Employment Academy. And this one provides job training in high demand industries.
Yes.
Construction, manufacturing, and healthcare.
So they're not just teaching like general job skills?
No specific career paths.
Specific career paths.
Yeah.
Okay. And they go beyond just skills training. They help people with resume writing, interview prep.
Oh, wow.
Job placement assistance.
That's great.
So all the things that people need to get back on their feet.
That's usually the hardest part.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate all of that.
It is.
Yeah.
And then they have another program called Bridges to Success.
Okay.
And that one provides support and mentoring to people once they've gotten a job.
Oh, wow.
So it's the long-term support.
So it's not just like, okay, you got the job, see you later.
Nope. They're there.
Okay.
For the long haul.
So in the context of the Work Release Act.
Right.
Operation New Hope would probably play a key role in preparing participants for employment.
Right.
And connecting them with opportunities during their time on work release.
That's right.
Okay.
So
yeah, that seems like a very valuable resource for both the participants and for potential employers.
Absolutely. It creates a pathway.
Yeah.
For people to demonstrate their skills and rebuild their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Now what about SMA Healthcare?
All right. SMA Healthcare.
We know they already have experience running these work release programs.
For already doing it.
So what sets their approach apart? So one thing that makes them different is their focus on family involvement.
Okay.
They recognize that successful reintegration requires support not just for the individual, but for their family.
The whole family.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really important point.
It is.
Because incarceration impacts families.
In a huge way.
In so many ways.
Absolutely. And so you have to support the family to break the cycle.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not just about the individual. It's about
the whole system.
The whole, the whole network that's involved.
Exactly.
So what kind of family support services?
So they offer counseling, parenting classes, support groups. And they also have a program called Family Reunification.
Okay.
That helps families navigate the challenges of reintegration.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because it's a very challenging process.
It is. And rebuild healthy relationships.
So it's recognizing that it's not just an individual journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family journey.
It is a family journey.
Yeah.
And SMA also has a big emphasis on mental health services.
Oh.
They provide all kinds of therapy.
Right.
Trauma-informed therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, which are very effective for people who have experienced incarceration.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's a very
stressful
situation.
It is.
So in the context of the Work Release Act, SMA Healthcare would probably leverage their existing
infrastructure and expertise.
Yeah,
to expand those programs.
Expand their work release programs.
And provide services to more people.
And provide these essential services.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they would be a key partner in making sure that people have the resources they need
to succeed.
To succeed, exactly.
So it sounds like Freedom Force Florida is trying to create this really comprehensive support system for these participants.
Right. Addressing their needs on multiple levels. And increasing their chances of success.
It's a really bold vision.
It is.
It remains to be seen.
Okay.
You know, if this thing will even gain traction in the legislature.
We'll see.
But I think regardless of what happens, You know, this deep dive has highlighted some
important issues.
Really important issues.
And sparked good conversations.
Yeah, sparked some interesting conversations.
It has.
And it's shown that the current system isn't working for anyone.
It's not working.
So we need to find a better way.
We do.
To address crime, rehabilitate offenders, and support their integration back into society.
All right. We need to find ways that benefit everybody.
So let's talk about the benefits then. What are those arguments in favor of this, of the RISE Act?
Right, because it's not all doom and gloom.
Right, yeah. Why should people be hopeful about this? What makes it worthwhile?
Well, I mean, you know, the research on work release programs in general, it's pretty convincing. Yeah. Like, studies consistently show that inmates who participate in these programs, they're significantly less likely to reoffend.
Okay, so less recidivism.
Less recidivism, yeah, which means...
Safer communities, fewer victims.
Exactly. Safer communities, fewer victims. It's not just some, you know...
Feel-good idea.
Feel-good idea, yeah. There's actual data to back this up.
That's a pretty strong argument.
And then, of course, you know, you can't forget about the economic impact.
Right.
I mean, reducing the number of people that are constantly cycling through the prison system, that saves money in the long run.
It makes sense. You're spending less on prisons.
Exactly. You're spending less on prisons. And then those resources are freed up for other priorities.
So spending money up front on these programs could actually lead to savings down the line.
That's the idea.
Interesting. But I mean, it's more than just numbers, right?
It is. We're talking about real people's lives here.
We are. We're talking about real people.
Yeah. And the RISE Act, it recognizes that the current system as it stands, it's often setting people up for failure.
In what way?
Well, I mean, think about it. They're released with very little support.
Yeah, $50 and a bus ticket.
Right, $50 and a bus ticket. They're burdened by this stigma of having been incarcerated. Mm. And often, you know, they're sent right back to the same environments that contributed to their problems in the first place.
Yeah, it's like a vicious cycle.
It is. It really is. So in a way, the RISE Act is about breaking that cycle.
Yeah.
You know, giving people a real chance to turn their lives around.
It's about second chances.
It is. It's about recognizing that everyone, even those who've, you know, made mistakes, deserves the opportunity to contribute to society, to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
That's really powerful.
It is.
Okay, so we've covered a lot here.
We have.
This is clearly a complex issue, passionate arguments on both sides.
Definitely.
But one thing's for sure, Freedom Force Florida is bringing a really important and often unheard perspective to the table.
That's what I find so fascinating about this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
These proposals are coming from people who have lived experience within the system.
Right.
They understand the flaws firsthand, and they have a personal stake in making things better.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that, you know, real change often starts from the ground up.
From the people who are most affected by the issues.
Exactly. And regardless of whether this RISE Act actually becomes law, it sparked a really important conversation about how we approach criminal justice, about what we're trying to achieve.
And that's a conversation we can all participate in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about asking ourselves tough questions, like, what is the purpose of our justice system in the first place?
Yeah, good question.
Is it purely punitive, or is it about rehabilitation?
Right.
Is it about creating a safer society for everyone?
Those are questions worth thinking about.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with a sense of hope, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even within a system as complex and often as flawed as ours, there's still room for improvement. There's room for second chances.
Absolutely.
There's room for a more just and humane approach.
That's what it's all about.
And that's ultimately what Freedom Force Florida is fighting for.
They are.
A system that recognizes the inherent dignity of every human being, regardless of their past.
It's a powerful vision.
It is. It demands our attention. Oh, it demands our critical thinking.
Our willingness to engage in those tough conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we encourage you, our listeners, to learn more about criminal justice reform in your own state.
Yeah, get involved.
Seek out diverse perspectives. Use your voice to advocate for a system that truly serves justice and promotes the well-being of all.
Because the future of justice is something we have to shape together.
It is. It's a responsibility we can't afford to ignore.
Well said.
Thank you for listening to Fight the Good Fight. Please join us by signing up on our website and help fund our mission by clicking the donate page.